This is Gerald Simons, and you're listening to Rabbits Radio Podcast. After the Rabbit.
Cook plays flat to Reynolds. Ouch. Inside pass. Ouch. The Bunnies are over. Bailey Sheridan gets the try.
Rabbitohs Radio is brought to you by Export Freight Systems, the Juniors Group of Clubs, NG Farrell Real Estate, Rise Foundation Australia, and Bourke Street Bakery.
Rabbitohs Radio Podcast, Grant Chappell, Steve Maven, and Darren Brown.
Chaps is red hot here, so my phone was running hot there for a while. But
could you catch him?
Well, only if I got a bit of a start.
It's great for rugby league, but more importantly, it's great for the mighty Rabbitohs.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by two former Rabbitohs, Darren Brown, Steve Maven. What's doing, boys?
Hello, chaps. Hello, Brownie.
G'day, boys. How are we all?
Not too bad, mate. A beautiful, sunny Sydney day.
Yeah, it was beautiful this morning, mate. I got down for an early swim down at Maribor Beach, down there at the north end. I had a train about 5:30 and got down there and I was in the water by 6:30. It was nice and warm and great start to the day.
Fantastic, mate. Yourself, yeah. Mavo, what did you get up to, bud?
I haven't done much today. Did a bit of work on the show. Wrote a story about Arthur Hennessy and the 1908 Rabbitohs, so we'll post that on our episode webpage if you want to have a look. And he's also our Remembering a Rabbitoh. So, chaps, what's on the show this week?
All right, we're going to recap that loss against the Panthers last Friday night. We've got Rabbitohs news, interview with young Bailey Sheridan, young upstart who's impressed in more ways than one. Also, we've got NRL news and Remembering a Rabbitoh, mate.
Okay, let's get into the shout-outs brought to you by Export Freight Systems. And just a bit of housekeeping. Last week, I talked about Stephen Kearney, the Warriors coach. It's actually Stephen Kearney, as we all know. I also talked about Kerry Boustead, and it's actually Bowie, the great Bowie, Kerry Boustead.
I got it right, Mava.
You did get it right.
Is it Boustead or Boustead?
Boustead.
Nah, Kerry Boustead, the great Bowie. And also the story that I was talking about Bowie in was about Doug Kingston, and he was actually a journalist at the Townsville Bulletin, and I didn't mention that little fact. And if you're listening, Doug, shout out to you. One of the fathers of the Cowboys.
And so I believe he was a good journalist as well.
He was, and he got shit done.
And a quick update last week on Wilso, Shane Wilson. We had a little story about him last week. How he's trying to raise some money for an operation. He had cancer, the poor bloke. Anyway, they got enough money, thanks to all those listeners out there who donated. And he also had another bit of bad luck. His wife had a motorbike accident and she broke her tibia and fibula, so they're going for a real tough time, that mob. So there's going to be a golf day coming up. We'll get some information, a charity golf day coming up if people want to get involved in that.
Yeah, that was terrible luck.
Speaking of golf days, I've got another charity golf day that'll be held at the Moore Park Golf Club on Monday the 20th of July for Louis Benny and Alexandria Rovers stalwart, Mavo. Do you know of Louis?
I don't, but I know that the Rovers community has come together. A mate of ours, Gerald Simons, is, I think he did a half marathon or something for it. And, yeah, so it should be a good day, that. They're always a great day, the golf days. I love it, being a golfer myself.
Yeah, a great course down there at Moore Park on the 20th of July. It's a 9:30 tee off, boys. So you've got to get there at 9. I'll probably get there before 9:30. It's $150. That will include golf. You'll get a cart with that, and you'll also get a T-shirt. So for anyone who knows Louis, get behind him. He's struggling with cancer himself. And like Mavo said, there's been a few charity events throughout the last 6 months due to what's going on with COVID. They had a few more organised, but they couldn't have them on. So they've arranged this charity golf day on Monday the 20th of July.
Get behind that one. That sounds like a good one. Any mate of Gerald Simons is a mate of mine. Don't worry about that.
Exactly. Good man, Jez. You got another one about Archie Allen.
Yeah, I have. Shout out to Archie Allen. Now, he's a product of the St. Gregory's Campbelltown College out there. A mad South Sydney Rabbitoh. Loves the red and green.
We're everywhere, aren't we?
We are. And, I mean, he went to school there, and he's actually working there now. as a live-in supervisor. So he's probably looking after the next generation of players that are going to come through. It's a great nursery for schoolboys, the footy players that come out of there. Our own Jason Demetrio come through there. Jason Taylor, Trent Barrett, just to name a few.
Roosters coach, yeah.
Yeah, so a big shout out to Arch Allen. He's also in the process of doing a degree in sports coaching, strength and conditioning. So if there's any junior clubs out there, I know Mascot have got some good programs put in place. Any other junior clubs out there that want to strength and conditioning coach, be sure to look him up. Archie Allen.
Archie's a man, eh?
Good on you, Archie.
Also, Christian Sims sent us a message. It's a terrible story about a young man called Corey. He lives in Caboolture, Queensland. He's got Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's the terrible disease that affects young men. It's the one that the charity Save Our Sons supports. And him and his family are all mad Sour supporters. It's a terrible disease. It attacks young men and they get sick far more easily and get a lot of infections and whatnot. Corey is in hospital at the moment with another infection. So shout out to the family because they're all mad Rabbitohs.
Yeah, that's a important cause there, Mavo.
Yeah, I think
sounds like a young bloke's doing it pretty tough.
Get a shirt off to him, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We send him up a polo if we can. And yeah, but it's not good. It's the life expectancy for that disease is not good. So I can just imagine the devastation of that family. So if we can get him a shirt or give him a shout out, hopefully we can brighten his day.
Yeah. Up the Rabbitohs, Corey.
Yeah, and wish all the best, Corey.
And what we've come up with in the last week or so, which has been pretty big for the podcast, you would have noticed we've started a Facebook Rabbitohs Radio podcast listeners private group, and it's gone gangbusters, hasn't it, Mova?
Oh, hasn't it what? Yep.
We've had a plethora of first graders jump on board, former coaches, whatnot. And one of the real legends of the South Sydney Rabbitohs club is Cole Whelan, who's a basically accredited NRL photographer. He's been doing it for a long, long time. He's got fantastic images he's been putting up, attaching a few stories to some of the images. I noticed he put one up today and sort of said, guess who and what was this about? And, and the listeners are getting on board and getting right behind it. But he also put up a great story about a real salt-of-the-earth bloke up there on the border of New South Wales and Queensland called Lane. He was an opal scratcher, tough as nails, Lane was. And anyway, Cole happened to be in town. He's grabbed a beer and he's noticed this bloke with an old Rabbitohs cap and he sat there and had a chat to him and told Cole that he's a photographer of the mighty Rabbitohs and he said, I could help you in the future, if down the track, if you're ever in Sydney or if the opportunity arises, I'll try and get you in there, And sure enough, he's rang up Lane and got him a start on Grand Final day of all days, 2014 Grand Final. He's got on the field. He had the bib on, and he had the time of his life, watched the Rabbitohs win, and next minute he said, why don't you run around with the trophy, with the boys and the trophy.
Doing the lap of honour.
And then he's running next to Sutto. Sutto goes, mate, would you hold this for me? Can you hold the Rabbitohs, the trophy they just won. So what an experience that was. And I think Cole ended up popping back up to that the pub up there on the border of New South Wales and Queensland, which is the Hebel Hotel. And the bar staff were filthy on him. they threw a few obscenities at him and whatnot and said, mate, this Lane hasn't stopped talking about that day. You have absolutely ruined him. We're sick of these stories.
Ah, he would have been on cloud nine, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it was great.
That's just some of the stories that have come out on this page, boys, and you got a few more, haven't you?
He's a great man, Cole. Just touching on Cole, yep. He's been around for a long time. He was around when we were playing, and not only was he the photographer of the Rabbitohs, he was the photographer for the NRL.
Yeah,
and hence the reason why he would have had the contacts, to get him into the game.
And I met him that night at the launch this year, didn't we?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I can just remember his face at every game we played, just about snapping away. He took just about all the photos I've got of myself back in the day, and he's got a lifetime of photos for us to have a look at, and he said he'll share them on our new Facebook podcast listeners group. And we started that group so that people that listen to the show can get in there and talk about the show. So
over 1,000 members already, boys, so it's coming along leaps and bounds.
And just quickly, a couple of messages we got. Russell Hansen told us that he had never listened to a podcast before Easter and now loves our show and listens every week. We've had Brian Smith, the great Brian Smith, come in and talk about the 81 team that he coached, the Tugger Coleman under-23s team. Also, Mark Sullivan from Texas. This was a beauty. Oh, he loves all the old Redfern Oval talk. His pop used to sell the hot dogs at the game, and one day he put 12 away.
Hot dogs. Give a dog your home. Hot dogs.
And he used to love
cheese and mustard.
And the peanuts in the shell or sugar-coated. Get your doubles, all that.
Doubles on the main game.
And we
doubles
all,
on the main game.
And we do love that. And he said that we touch lives with our show. So it's really good hearing people praising us like that.
Well, it's just on their doubles. Remember if there was no try? What position went to the hooker? There you go.
Went to the hooker.
Hey?
That's it. There you go.
And speaking of old Rabbitohs, good mate of mine, Pope, he's just wandered into the studio, so we'll put him on the mic. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, Jeff Pope.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Yeah,
on your Pope-y.
G'day, Pope-y. How are you, mate?
Because when we were just talking about Redfern Oval there, you had a little bit to say, and you'd have some fond memories of that yourself.
Redfern Oval, when I was a kid, we'd just break in and do the cardboard boxes down the back of the hills behind them trees. You know?
Yeah, I think we spoke about that before.
We used to love it. Yeah, sliding down the back. You didn't care what was going on in the
then
game.
You'd run on the bigger kids, they'd throw rocks at you, and you'd run up the other end. And
When you lived across the road from Waterloo Oval, you used to the hard surface of Waterloo Oval.
I still actually remember the day my dad said to me, do you want to play football? Actually, I was 4 years old. I'm coming home from school. My old man picked me up. One of them ran from primary. There was a daycare centre behind it. And he's parked the car, we got out, and he said, do you want to play footy, son? I went. He said, right, across the road. We didn't even go into the house. We crossed the road. It happened to be a Monday or a Wednesday, so Zetlam was running. So that was it. I played for Zetlam.
Zetlam,
I was there for 10 years.
There you go.
Junior. Always at the reunion days as well. So.
And you played a bit of President's Cup.
Yeah, just the 1 year, mate.
I've heard that story plenty of times. But
you got sent off at half time and we're getting ready for the game.
Yeah, that's right. I was playing flag and you were playing cup.
Yep. It was in your team, maybe?
Blockhead, Lyons, Mark Lyons, Mara Vera. Gilbert Ferguson. Toddy Martin was our captain. He'd come from the bush. He was a good player. And the poor bugger passed away 5 years ago of asbestosis.
He was a terrific kid. And what about your coach? Who was the coach?
Niggsy. Of course,
Niggsy Hill.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there you go. He's coached the best of them.
The great Niggsy. And his son, Brent, is in our podcast listeners group, I believe.
We actually came third. We got beat by Penrith in the finals that day after you got sent off.
Yeah.
Doug Delaney cut us to pieces. Yep. I think he's the only one I recognise from their side. But their front rower, well, often got, for years I had him mixed up with, I thought it was Spud Carroll or MG.
Oh, Mark.
I thought it wasn't. It turned out being a bloke named Steve Slaughter, who I played with your brother at the Sun Herald later on.
Steve Slaughter.
That's
a good name.
Big front rower from Penrith.
Steve slaughtered a few tries back in the day.
A few women too, probably.
Let's move on. Thanks for joining us, Poby. We'll move on with the show.
Thanks for having
good
me.
Good on
thanks,
you, Poby. Nice to see you, mate.
Good to see you.
So just moving on from the new Facebook group, what has happened is we're getting all these images from Cole and all the fans are sending us some fantastic images. So what we're going to do is do a Rabbitohs gallery every week on the episode webpage with all the best photos. So if you want to scroll down now and have a look, you'll see some sensational images, some of the best Rabbitohs stuff you've ever seen. And so, yeah, that's just a way of presenting all of that. And just on last week's show, Jeremy Muir, he did a good job, said some good stuff, chaps.
Oh, he was great, yeah. It was fantastic to get him in studio and actually get to meet him. So I've had a lot of messages with him over the past few months, and it was great to get him in and just get to feel his passion, mate. And he's got a lot of knowledge about the Rabbitohs, that's for sure.
What about his jumper collection? I asked him about his jumper collection. I thought he was probably going to say, 20, 30. He's got 120 jumpers.
Well, that was just an estimate. It might be more.
Mavo and I played for the club, and we haven't got one between us.
Yeah. And speaking of jerseys, chaps, you bought a jersey at auction one day. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
I did, actually. Paid a bit overs, but...
Was I the auctioneer?
I don't know. You might have been, actually. I don't know, but no.
I always get overs when I'm auctioning.
It was down at the race course at Ramwick Race Course, and it was a charity for kids on the street, like homeless kids and all that sort of thing, and it was run by my mate Kirby Abedin. So, anyway, the main prize was, I think it was valued at $38,000 donated by... Flight Centre was, I think it was around 2008. It was to go to the Olympics. You went on a cruise and all this. My mate's dad's got it for $22,000. Anyway, the next best thing I wanted to get on there was, it was a 1971 South jersey signed by all the players, Clive Churchill and everything. I went, I'll get that. Set myself about $1,000 in my mind. Got it to $1,000. Kept going. There's about four of us in it. I said, I'll go to $2,000. And there was two of us in it. I said, I'll go to $3,000. Before I know it, I've paid $5,500.
Half tanked.
Oh, paralytic.
I'll tell you.
Out of that many red wines, it was unbelievable.
I know who the auctioneer would have been.
I got carried away.
I know who the auctioneer would have been. It would have been Glenn Farrer.
I think it was Glenn Farrer, actually.
It would have been.
Yeah, from memory.
He'd done all their auctions many years ago.
Glenn Farrer from NG Farrer Real Estate, sponsor of the show. And then, so you woke up filthy that you spent all this money on the jersey.
So I went around to collect it, and, you know, they said, come around and collect it, you know, from this place. And I went around KB's joint and collected it. And I said, oh, what about the authenticity certificate? And he goes, he looked around, he turned the joint upside down, he goes, I've lost it. So there, I paid $5,500 for just a jersey. You know, could have been anything. So I took it around to Dad's, and I don't think I've ever looked at it again.
That's what I was going to say. You still got it?
It's around there at Dad's. Dad's got it. A couple of frames up. One of them's one of the 1955 side. Miles has got it autographed by a couple of guys, and yeah, they've got it framed up and put up. That's that 55 side that come from dead last and won 11 straight to win the premiership.
Nice. Well, at least Reggie's happy that he's got a jersey, but it cost you a fortune.
Yeah, it worked out all right. It ended up being a bit of a tax write-off. Anyway, that's another story for another day, guys.
7 metres out from the line. Played back for Keary, and he goes away. They've got an extra man, Alex Johnston. Johnston has scored.
Rabbitohs news brought to you by the Juniors Group of Clubs. Mavo, what do you got?
Well, I spoke to Brad Stanford from the Juniors today and asked him if they've had any changes from July, and they have. The bingo's back on, boys. 4 days a week, Tuesday to Friday.
66 clickety clicks.
88 two fat ladies.
I don't know any of them. Legs 11.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
13, the devil's number.
Yep. We could go on. But also, from the 5th of July, pack the pantries back on. That's 40 meat trays every 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of the month. So that's good. 40 meat trays. You've got to be a chance of winning one there. And they'll be good ones too.
Every time it's 40 meat trays.
40 meat trays every time.
Wow.
So get up there, have a feed, have a few beers, buy some tickets. You might walk out with a meat tray or two. Trivia's back as well from the 2nd of July on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Our man Maroon, trivia man, he'd probably enjoy that. He might get up there.
Oh, he loves trivia, Maroon.
He loves the trivia.
I don't know if he runs it or not, but anyway. And the Sunday Funday live concert is back on every fourth Sunday of the month from the 26th of July. So it's good news that things are getting back to normal at the Juniors Group of Clubs. And that one's at the Juniors Kingsford.
All right, Mavo, we might recap that loss to the Panthers, 20-12 loss, where we didn't really defuse any bombs, and probably our completion was down. The effort was there. Defensively, I thought we weren't too far away, but yeah, boys, how did you see it?
Oh, look, I thought our defence was okay for the amount of ball they had. Like you said, chaps, poor ball control has cost us the game. Not only this game, but I believe it's cost us a couple other games throughout the year as well. You know, there's some the positives to take out of the game. I think the form of Jaden Sewer was good. I thought he played really well.
He was strong,
on that right edge.
He was.
He looked dangerous every time he touched the ball, and he saved a mad try in that bottom left-hand corner in the first half.
Yeah, on Naden, mate.
Which kept us in the game, really, just before half time.
He should have scored that, Naden. That was a great try saver by Sewer.
Yeah, so, look, you know, we've got to get that in order before we start competing with anyone. If we don't start getting that right, our ball control, we're going to struggle again this week. You have a look at the two games that we won, the Warriors and the Gold Coast. Our ball control was excellent in the first half, and we blew them off the park.
Well, that's right. Well, we did drop too much ball. And we were talking about Wayne Bennett drumming into the players, complete, complete, complete. Well, we just didn't do that. We were never really going to win that game. The Panthers were all over us. Their kicking game was superb. We couldn't handle it. But there were some shining lights, like you said, Sewer. Our bench forwards that come on, Bailey Surinan, who's going to be on the show today, and also Liam Knight and Hame Sele, all came on and ran for big metres.
They were good, Mavo, yeah.
Yeah, so we are looking for some positives. And now we might start introducing three things we liked in the game, just so we can recap what's going on. But my three things are, I think, the Bailey try. I really like that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to him about that later.
Yeah, it was good for Bailey. He come on and he made an impact, and it was a well-deserved try, put it that way. He'd been going, he went good last week, and he's come on and he went well again. He showed plenty of enthusiasm, and, you know, it was well deserved.
Yeah, and we always ask our guests on the show about their first try in first grade, and I look forward to his answer because it's fresh in his mind, fresh in all our minds. It was a beauty run on that inside line. My other highlight I've mentioned before was the bench players ran for big meters. And the other thing I really enjoyed, even though the game was sort of done, was the AJ swan dive in the corner when he got in the clear. I do love a swan dive. And there's no better finisher than Alex Johnson. And we're going to make mention of that a bit later. There's been some news on him. But we only had 11 men on 13, and he scored.
So just on that swan dive, do you reckon you were the first player to bring it in, the swan dive? Or was there a couple before you? Well, can you remember anyone? Chicka Ferguson, did he use the swan dive?
Well, I can't really remember. I'm going to claim it anyway.
Well, I reckon maybe it was the first one I've seen.
Yeah, so I don't know. Now they all do it, and with the advent of the corner post being taken out, I would love that because you can launch even more.
Oh, some of the tries that they score in today's game are unbelievable, aren't they?
Oh, incredible, boys.
So how they get
incredible.
The ball down.
So what are your 3 points, boys? Have you got any others than
Well, look, I just mentioned before Jaden Sewer. I think the former Jaden Sewer has been really good for us, not only on last weekend, but for the last few weeks, I think he's improving. I think AJ's try, not just being his fifth try in four games, it just proves that he's a prolific try scorer down that left edge. And I know there's talk that he might be leaving the club, but we'd love for him to stay. And if he doesn't, well, he's going to be an asset to any other club he goes to because he knows where the try line is. And I think his form has been really, really good as well over the last few weeks. And like we just discussed before, Bailey Sirenan's first try, that was a great moment for him.
Yeah.
And plenty more to come.
Yeah, I suppose my couple of moments. I've got to take my hat off of Damien Cook. 60 tackles, boys, probably missed in the wash-up again. He plays 80 minutes right in the middle of the field, and they had the biggest bookends we've played in a while, boys, in the likes of James Fisher-Harris and James Taumau. So yeah, he had to put them on the deck all night, boys.
Is that James Fisher-Harris?
Fisher-Harris, yeah, that's right.
I just feel sorry for Cookie a little bit, the way we're playing.
Plus,
he got
trampled on as well.
Yeah. we're just not holding the ball for him to play his natural game of getting out of dummy half. We're not getting in great field position. We're forever working off our line. You know, not much go forward. Our play the balls are a lot slower than the other teams. You know, the NRL have got a stat on the speed of the play the ball. I think we were 4 seconds on the weekend.
And they were three, yeah.
And they were three.
Also gives their markers time to just split up a little bit to take Cookie out of the game.
Mm. Yep.
And Wayne Bennett mentioned that in the press conference last week. I might just throw to Damien Cook said today when I interviewed him.
Cookie, chaps from Rabbitohs Radio, mate. We've seen you go down and clutch at a lower leg injury during that second half, mate. How'd you pull up, bud? Did you get stepped on or something?
Tyler, the winger, he's quite a powerful runner, and I think it happened a bit earlier, and I was just won a couple of tackles before that, and I think just stepped right on the outside of my knee and sort of just locked up a little bit, but no damage or anything, you know, so it's all good, but no, it's got me right in the sweet spot there.
So I also feel a bit sorry for Cookie because we haven't had the go forward, we kept dropping the ball, so that doesn't help, but people, when you think of Cookie, they think of him darting out from dummy half and he's attacking brilliance and his speed, but 60 tackles, chaps.
60 tackles.
That's an amazing stat. He's a great defender.
And he does them week in, week out.
And,
so.
And also feel a bit sorry for Cam Murray, trying his heart out in the middle.
And my second moment was Latrell's try saver. I know he got sent off for 10, but it was a fair grassing tackle down there, boys. It was a try saver.
Yeah, well, mate, he had to do what he did, didn't he? But it was always going to go to the bin.
Look, he had a night to forget with the hands. He dropped a few balls here and there. But, I mean, the intent was there. He's running with a bit of aggression. He still had a hell of a lot of tackle breaks too.
Mm.
But that's just one of those nights he'd rather forget.
He's not too far away, mate. And I don't think the whole team's too far away. They've just got to alter a few things and be more disciplined.
Well, I think the last few weeks before that, he took two steps forward and then one step back in that game. But let's hope he marches on, just like South Sydney will next week.
Yeah, but the knock on him early in the season, he can't play 80 minutes of fullback. Guess what? You can chalk up another one of that. Not 80 minutes, he got thrown off for 10, but anyway, it wasn't far off, but if you know what I mean.
70 minutes.
Yeah, 70 minutes anyway. And the third point was, again, Liam Knight. Bit of confidence back. He topped the metres for all our forwards in only 32 minutes. He was only in the field 32 minutes, and he had more metres than any other South Sydney player, besides the backs, but, I mean, in the forward pack. So that's not a bad effort from Liam Knight.
Yeah, well, he had a long first stint, but the second stint, what happened there, Chaps, do you know?
I don't know if you come back on for the second stint.
Yeah, never do I.
Well, that's what you're saying there to me seems like he should be starting and playing bigger minutes if he's doing all that off the bench. So
he's playing a good role there off the bench, Liam. Maybe that's his role going forward in the team, mate.
Yep. All right, so, yeah, we don't want to linger on that too long. We got beat. We'll bounce back Sunday, 6:30.
We weren't too far away, put it that way.
We won't. If we can hold the ball, complete some sets, not give away penalties. Sounds easy, but against the side, they were pretty good, Penrith. They were coming forward, big forwards, good kicking game.
You've got to catch the bombs, mate.
Yeah, they've got to catch those bombs.
We catch 50% of the balls that Cleary put up, and they caught 90% of Reynolds' bombs that he threw up. Almost, there's the game, boys, right there.
And their 5-8 played well. Oh, little Nugget, he went all right too. So they were coming at us all night. Their winger that filled in for Mansource, he was good. So
I've said it before, boys, it's an easy game, but it's hard to play.
We've got the Bailey Sirenin interview brought to you by Rise Foundation Australia. Now, Rise Foundation Australia had the legendary Luke Chicka Carroll, who's a great Indigenous actor. They had him live on Instagram last night, so make sure you jump on and check that out.
He's a great bloke, Chicka. He's just celebrated 10 years on Play School. The kids love him. But he's a proud Indigenous man, big fan of the show, and you can expect us to get him on at some stage this year because he's a great entertainer.
Yeah, it was. I actually tuned in and watched a bit of it, and it was a great interview. So do yourself a favour and jump on and have a look. He goes in depth about the Indigenous heritage and all about the education of it.
Okay, Rabbitohs Radio listeners, we've got a treat for you on the show today. We've got the young upstart. Fires in off the bench, week in, week out. Scored a try against the Panthers last week. Bailey Sirenin, welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, mate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Now, where are you from and what was it like growing up there?
Yeah, so I grew up in East Ryde. I was a Balmain junior growing up, so sort of followed my old man and brother through the ranks at Balmain, and I'm still over here at East Ryde. I went to school at Holy Cross College here in Ryde, so I've always sort of been a bit of a local. It's a bit of a change going to South last year, but you know, I loved every second of it.
Tell us a bit about your mum Leanne, your dad Paul, and your brother Curtis. You're a close family, are you? Close knit family?
Yeah. So it's just the four of us. We're all pretty close. You know, mum probably loves footy more than the three of us. So
good on her.
She keeps us going forward, cooks and cleans, and does everything for us. So, and then you know, Dad's who he is. He's, you know, he's done his thing playing footy when he came through, and he sort of instilled that into Curtis and I. And you know, Curtis he's going to ride over at Manly too, so that's going well.
You just mentioned your family. Now, you grew up over in the Ryde area, and you grew up with another legendary Balmain icon family, the Roach family. Mate, how was it growing up in the same street as them boys?
Oh, it was a grouse, mate. So yeah, Stevie, he moved into Finch Avenue when I was probably about four or five, I think. And then, you know, his three sons were almost like brothers to Curtis and I. So we spent a lot of time playing, you know, street footy and having barbecues and pool fights and stuff with them growing up. So it was really good.
Yeah, it must have been good times coming through as a youngster, mate, with five boys running around.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. We had a street full. A good mate of mine in the Wheelhouses, they lived down the road too, and they had four sons as well, so there was thousands of us running around.
Oh, that would have been fun, mate.
Would have been some street footy going on there, eh?
Yeah, a couple of blow-ups, a couple of fights. But it was fun.
You mentioned Holy Cross, and I think your coach there was called Tim White, and he once said of your potential that it was obvious. He said, Bailey's got everything you need in a footballer. He's a powerful player with a bit of skill. So he's a big fan of you. He was a good teacher.
Yeah, well, that's a fair rap. Fair rap from Whitey. He was awesome growing up. So yeah, he was our footy coach at Holy Cross from, I think I was playing in that A grade of year 9. So from year 9, he was you know, probably one of the most influential coaches I would have had growing up. So, yeah, he was awesome. And still lives to this day. He's a really good person, Whitey.
Yeah, mate, a good school too, the Holy Cross. It's got a good good product of footy players that come out of that system.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Junior Totola's at South now with me, and I went to school with June, so he was there in my grade. And then a couple of ages above us, you had like Luke Brooks and Mitch Moses was there. My brother went there as well. So Aaron Woods come out of there. There's quite a few first graders running around from Holy Cross. So
yeah, no, good school. Mate, as a young bloke and coming through through the junior ranks, you played in the halves. You've obviously moved to an edge now, and you could probably play in the middle. Have you got a favourite position that you like?
Oh, yeah, well, I put on a bit too much weight to play 5'8 these days now. But look, the role I'm playing at South at the moment, I sort of come on into the middle, and if need be, I'll move out onto the edge. And I'm loving that role. You know, I've got Cam Murray there at lock at the moment, so I'm a similar sort of I try to be a similar sort of player to him when I come on. So and I'm really enjoying that. So lock forward's probably my favourite at the moment, but honestly, I'll take wherever I can get. Put me at fullback and I'll play.
Yeah, no, 100%, mate. And you're doing a great job as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you mentioned you're too big for the halves. What are you weighing in at, mate?
No, I'm about 98 or 99 kilos these days.
Okay, well, Mavo's left leg's 98 at the moment. But anyway, that's the way it goes. It's been a pretty tough COVID-19 lockdown.
It has a bit of
period, but
a few COVID kilos I'm carrying.
I'm a couple over myself, but anyway, mate, tell us about your debut, mate. 2017, mate, must have been a proud moment to be the third Syrian to play for the Tigers, mate.
Yeah, really, it was quite a surprise, to be honest. I was playing Reggie's at the time in the State Cup, and I think it was about to be our last game for the Tigers there, and we weren't travelling too well, but then Ivan Cleary came up to me early on in the week and said, look, yeah, I've got a job for you this weekend. I'm going to give you your debut. And I was sort of a bit in shock, to be honest. But look, I called my parents straight away, called my brother, and you know, they were all stoked for me. And you know, I was really thankful to be given the opportunity to play the last couple of games there at the Tigers. You know, growing up through there, that's all I wanted to do as a kid was to debut and play for them, and I achieved that. So I was really proud of it. Unfortunately, didn't get the win against the Cowboys, but definitely a night to remember.
Yeah, mate, it's a great feeling, and you'll remember it for the rest of your life, mate. And especially you know, like Chaps just said, the third Syrian generation to play. Not too many players get to have two debuts, because the next week you made another debut, and at your famous Leichhardt Oval, mate, where your dad was probably an icon. What was that like, mate, to play at Leichhardt Oval?
Yeah, that was really special. It was Father's Day as well, so it's more sweet. But and to get the win, that was that was probably one of the better days growing up for me. You know, playing against the Warriors, come off the bench, and to get a win at Leichhardt with the family there, and being the last game of the year, it was something I'll never forget.
Yeah, mate, I remember your dad on his last game carrying the two of you around on his shoulders, mate. So it must have been a special day for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was bawling my eyes out that day. I don't remember why, but you know, got a good photo of Dad carrying me and Curtis walking next to him. So yeah, like you said, it was a really special moment for the family.
Yeah, great stuff.
Mate, my first memory of your dad was me playing him at Leichhardt Oval in my third game of first grade. We had a couple sent to the sin bin. I think Mario Fennick and I can't remember who else. So I'm trying to defend the line, and here's your dad charging at me. It was like a Big Mac truck trying to tackle him over the line, and he scored, and we got beat. So, yeah, shout out to you, Big Zero. You probably remember. I don't know if you remember Zach, because he used to steamroll people every game he played in, but I certainly remember it anyway.
If he scored, he'd remember it. He loves that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we'll just... You mentioned your debut against the Cowboys, and your brother, ironically, did as well in 2012. You're only 15 years old at the time, but then you ended up playing against him last year at ANZ, I think, and we won 21-20. What are your memories of that?
Yeah, that was that was another great day. So I was sort of in it. I was playing Reggie's at the time, and then Wayne came up to me and said he's going to give me a game this week, and just happened to be against against Manly. So I called Curtis straight away on the way home and just let him know that, you know, we could probably carpool there. Because yeah. I'll be running out against him. So, and look, yeah, that was another great day for our family. We won, and I think Curtis might have got man of the match though. So
there you go.
You know, I was all around.
Mate, you went pretty well as well. We discussed it on the podcast after that game, and we were all excited about your performance as well.
Cheers. Thanks for that, guys.
And also, there's a photo of you tackling your brother, and I dug it up today, and it's like you've half got smiles on your faces when you're tackling. So if anyone wants to have a look at that, scroll down to the episode webpage. And also, you've probably already looked. We play Manly again in, I think it's round 15, so it could be round two of that clash.
Yeah, hopefully we go 2-for-2 against him.
Yes, because we do need to start winning some footy games. And
yeah, absolutely.
How's mum during the week, mate, when you're about to come up against each other?
She actually held it together all right, surprisingly. I think she rocked up to the game with a South scarf and a Manly hat on, not really sure who to support, but I think she was just really proud. And we had a couple of close family friends there as well, so really good day out.
And what about Dad? Does he give you both a few tips, like tackle that Sirenin kid and what you got to watch?
I think he might have given me a couple more tips than Curtis. I think he wanted me to smash him. So
yeah. Well, he had a bit of a head start on you, didn't he? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Doesn't need any more publicity. It's all right.
Yeah. And also, we played the Tigers in a short turnaround game next Friday, so that'd be a good one for you.
Yeah, I've still got a couple of close mates there at the Tigers, so that'll mean a bit for me, and I'll take some pride in trying to rip into them. So got to get through this week first, and then we'll deal with him.
Okay, we always usually ask our guests about their first try in first grade, and yours is very fresh in our minds because you scored a beauty last week with an inside ball from Renault. Take us through it, mate.
Yeah, I'm glad you've got me on today so I could have a story for you. Yeah. the shape we were running was, you know, wasn't really meant for me to get the ball, but the defender come back late, and Renault, you know, thankfully looked up and saw that, and he tipped on the inside of me, and look, I was desperate to try and score, so I'm glad I got over there. But unfortunately, we couldn't go on with it, so bit of a bittersweet moment.
That's a bit of a shame because it was a cracker, and you'll always remember that one, mate, and it was a good one. So we were calling the game. We have been doing a bit of practice calling the game, and we made mention just before that you look pretty good. You look more confident, keen in defence, busy in attack, so you look like you've upped the tempo. So how are you feeling good out there, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my confidence is building up the more I've been playing. I feel like I'm where I should be, and that's playing first grade. And look, the more minutes I got last week, I was really thankful for that, and I'm just trying to make the most of every opportunity I can get at the moment. So I'm really enjoying my footy.
Yeah, we've seen you come on against the Roosters like a bull out of a gate, and unfortunately got yourself knocked out there, mate. But it probably was a little bit of a setback, but we could see the passion and the aggression in you, mate.
Yeah, I think I was a bit too overexcited that game. Unfortunately, Wayne had to pull me aside and said, look, just try and calm down a little bit. But my role off the bench is I'm trying to bring a lot of energy on, and I think I was a bit too over-enthused that time, unfortunately. Got my head stuck in the wrong spot, but, you know, that happens at footy.
No, I think all the Rabbitohs fans were quite impressed with the whole bench against the Panthers. So you just come on and got us back into the game. Harmay Sellard's playing pretty well, and Liam Knight as well, mate. Certainly come on and made a difference, mate. Now, you mentioned Wayne Bennett there. Tell us, what's it like being coached by the master coach, Wayne Bennett?
At first, it was strange. You know, he's sort of complete opposite of what you see in the media. He's a really personable person, so he likes to get to know you and make sure that everything away from footy is, you know, going well, so that you can perform at your best. So, you know, he's got a wealth of knowledge there, and I'm just trying to, you know, tap into that as much as I can and learn as much from him.
Yeah, well, I think Wendell Saylor spoke during the week on Triple M about the same subject, and one thing that stuck with me is that he said, Wayne wants you to be a better person after football. He's more concerned about you as a person more than, you know, might be winning 40 games or how your form is.
He's more than just a coach, basically, isn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, he really, he genuinely cares about you, and I think that just sort of makes you want to play for him, for him more. So, and look, he's given me an opportunity, so I'll be forever thankful for him.
Yeah, mate, he's a legend, and we love him anyway. And you know, the only people that don't like him are the, you know, the other supporters. So.
And the media, they're grubs.
But yeah. he's a great mentor. He's a great mentor of young men, and we're glad to hear you saying that about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mate, how's the body holding up? You know, you've had a few injuries, you know, throughout your career. Is your body in the right shape at the moment?
Yeah, yep. So, you know, like you said, I've had a couple of shoulder reconstructions and two ankle reconstructions, but, you know, touch wood, I've you know, been injury free pretty much for 24 months now.
Good stuff.
And the body's feeling the best it's felt in my career, I reckon. So, loving footy, loving being able to train every day and be out there with the boys, and, you know, hopefully we can make something of this year.
Yeah, get a win this week, mate. Mate, what does Bailey Serenin do away from footy?
Well, at the moment, I'm trying my hand at golf, but I'm fucking terrible. For
Mate, just touching on that, you played with a few mates of mine in a golf day, Troy Slattery and Laurie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Laurie Barkle.
Yeah.
He's come absolutely stone motherless last.
We come dead last. We were shocked. Honestly, we were awful, and I don't reckon I've gotten any better.
Well, mate, I do a golf blog on Instagram. I might have to have a hit with you and get you on there at some stage.
Yeah. Mate, I'd love to give me some tips too, if you don't mind.
I don't know. I'm not much good either, but I did see GI out there. I'm a member at the Coast. I saw GI out there, so maybe we can organise a little foursome with you and GI and me and one of my mates.
Yeah, mate, a lot of the boys have, you know, started playing. I know Reno's a handy golfer. Gags plays a bit.
Sammy
and Luke Burgess, yeah, they love it too. So, yeah, I think that's a common pastime for league players these days. I'm not sure why, but everyone's sort of buying into it.
Yeah, mate, I've heard Sammy hits the ball a mile. So, mate, just on Sammy and another player, John Sutton, who left the club last year, but they're still involved.
Yep.
How do you learn off them?
Yeah, well, look, those two were massive for me last year. You know, both still playing, obviously, and they really welcomed me to the club and made me feel like I was a part of the South family. And I think it's great that they're still there. They're two people that love the club and really want to see it succeed. And, you know, they genuinely care about how the team's going and the players. So, look, it's awesome being at training every day and learning off them and, you know, feeding off their energy. And, look, I'm really, really appreciative to be able to learn off, you know, two of the best to have played. So,
yeah.
Loving everything they bring.
Yeah, there's a wealth of experience there, mate. And, mate, you said you play a little bit of golf and you're not good at it. Well, Sutto's a bit of a surfer, and our host here, Grant Chappell, he's one of Sutto's good mates down there at North Maroubra, and we'll have to, might get you down there and try and ride a few waves.
I have to try my hand at surfing. I don't know how I go. My balance is all over the shop. I'd love to be able to.
Yeah, the Balmain boys don't surf, mate. And actually, the big boy
Sato can surf. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Hardly ever falls off the big unit. But
yeah.
He lets it go, he loves it.
But how long have you got to go? Have you signed with the Bunnies contractual wise? How long can we look forward to your services for at this stage, mate?
Yeah, so I'm off contract this year, but, you know, hopefully if, you know, I can play some good footy there, you know, we can work something out. And I'd love to stay, honestly. Coming to South has been the best thing for me, loving the direction that the club's going and in the playing group and the staff. So, you know, hopefully we can work something out and I can stay on for a couple more years.
Well, mate, if you keep playing like you did the other day, I think you might even find yourself in the starting side the way you're going. So I'm pretty sure,
fingers crossed,
and I'd hope we can sail you up for a couple more years, mate.
I'd love that too. Thanks for that,
mate. We had the future coach come on, JD. What are your thoughts on him, mate? He seems though he's a good coach in the making.
Yeah, really good guy, JD. He brings a lot of that, you know, energy, and he's another guy that really cares about the club and where it's going. And while Wayne's dealing with all the, you know, people stuff, I think JD's you know, looking after all the structure stuff. And I think he'll go far as a head coach, I reckon, JD. He's got a good group of things. He's got a good knowledge of footy and that balance between being a coach and, you know, being a mate to the players. So, you know, I've got a lot of respect for JD.
Yeah, we all said here, mate, we're in good hands when he takes over. So we can't wait.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Bailey, before we let you go, can you make sure you give Mum a hand at home, mate? Sounds like you don't give her much of a hand there, mate. Hey, listen, roll the sleeves up. Give her a hand. And she's obviously your biggest fan. Take a bit of pressure off her, mate. And we might thank you for joining us here on Rabbitohs Radio, mate. Thanks, Bailey.
Cheers, fellas. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Good on you, mate. Good luck this week, huh?
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
All right, boys. It was good to get young Bailey on. He sounds like a funny young fella, and he's pretty passionate about his footy. What a family.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. That was a good chat. I really enjoyed that, and I think he's got a big future.
Yeah, and speaking about his first try, that was, you know, a bit of an insight into his first try. I know we've spoken wax lyrical about Mavo's first try, but Brownie, can you remember your first try in first grade?
Mate, yeah, I can, yeah. It's always something that stays in your mind, in your memory, in the memory bank, and Mavo knows that. He's mentioned his many a times on the show, but mine was in 1989. I think it was about my 7th or 8th first grade game. I think it was round 11. It was in pouring rain, pissing down rain. We were playing Newcastle, and I was probably about 50 out, and Tugger threw me a nice ball, put me through a nice hole, and I was off and going, and I didn't really think I was really going to make it, but I got tackled about 15 metres short of the line, and because it was so wet, I ended up just sliding over the line. So I try to remember, and like I said, you know, it's something that you'll always remember for the rest of your life, and, you know, I know what Bailey was feeling last week.
We've put that try on our YouTube channel, so I'll share that on the episode webpage. I don't think there's any commentary, and I think Tomo, our man Tomo Manoa, scored a nice try out in the corner from a long tugger ball as well. That's in that clip as well. But yeah, you sure you don't want to talk about my first try again? Because I'm ready to go whenever.
He's queued up, ready for it. No, well, anyway, about Bailey. Yeah, what a great rugby league family. It sounds like Mum holds them all together.
Yep.
She's a rugby league mad. And you know, those two boys, they've got big careers ahead of them, both.
Yeah. Wonder if she tells them what lines to run and
what
angles.
If she doesn't, Russell Crowe can, by the sounds of it.
if she is.
Just ask Adam McDougall.
If she did tell him, he ran a good one for that try.
100%.
Yeah, last week. So
more of them to come.
Plenty more of that, running those angles back on the inside. But, you know, he's a mobile forward, an edge forward, just what we want. And he's got a lot of potential. So
super aggressive. I think that's probably the thing that stands out. He comes on and he hits her. When he hits her, you're going to know about
it. Well, he's got a bit of size about him now. He said he's put on a little bit of weight.
Yeah, 98.
Yeah, 98 kilos. So, yep. Yeah, perfect size for an edge back rower.
He can have some of mine.
He can have a bit
one of your legs.
We're going to chuff off to our first break here on Rabbitohs Radio Podcast.
All right, boys, we're just going to have a chat about the Alex Johnson debacle, which is getting around at the moment. It's been reported that Alex Johnson will be leaving the club next year. Now, obviously, we'll have an opinion on it. And, you know, to be honest with you, to be fair, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors in negotiations. So it's all hearsay. What are your thoughts, boys?
There's a petition going around to save Alex Johnson, and I can understand the fans' fury that we're letting a South junior go, grand final legend go. We've played the audio of the try he scored on the show, but we've got to trust that the management at South know what they're doing. We've signed young Jackson Paulo and also given Joseph Suwali a big contract, so I've got some players coming through, and you just can't keep them all.
That's right.
And I trust that Blake Solly and Wayne Bennett and Mark Ellison, our good mate.
And JD will probably be involved there because he's going to be the coach over the next 3 years to 4 years.
So we completely understand the furor, but we've got to look at both sides of the coin, and some decisions just have to be made.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Mavo. You can't keep them all. There's probably players there that are on contracts for the next few years as well. Unfortunately, AJ's coming up to the end of his contract this year. And who knows? He might still stay. It's only reports in the media that are out there. But we wish AJ all the best, whatever
decision
he makes.
Yeah, well, I guess you got to look at the contract situation of the other winger, Dane Gagai, who's on pretty handy cash. And I think if his contract was up this year, I don't think they'd be losing Alex Johnson. So maybe it was a little bit unfortunate that Gagai's got that one more year.
I think
he might head back to Queensland had he not had one more year. But I guess we've got an experienced campaigner like Dane Gagai on the one wing there, at least next year, guaranteed.
And let's hope that AJ takes it out on the opposition for the rest of the year. Any frustrations?
Yeah,
he might have.
Playing for a contract, and as I said, there's no better finisher in the game. He's well into the top 10 best try scoring Rabbitohs of all time, isn't he?
Oh, he's been a great player over the years, and more. He's been a great player over the years, and a great role model as well. So you know, I don't think he'll pull up stumps.
He's a fantastic human being, first and foremost, and an unbelievable prolific try scorer for the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yep. It's a shame the 2014 players, we'd like to keep them all forever and let them retire with the club, but the reality is it doesn't always happen.
NRL News brought to you by NG Farrell Real Estate.
During the week, watching Channel 9 News, a young lady, Stephanie Farrell, came on the screen about a property that she just sold, and she is the daughter of the great Glenn Fats Farrell, the boss of NG Farrell Real Estate. And they're a great team out there. Stephanie's a brilliant agent. So is Fats, Charlie, Ken Smith.
Martin Farrell.
Marty Farrell.
Yeah.
So they're a great team out there. And I put that photo of Stephanie on our socials and tagged her. And then she reshared it to her followers. So thank you for that, Stephanie.
And they had a good result on that unit down there at Clovelly. Across the road from the Clovelly Hotel. I think it was $170,000 above reserve. So
down
congratulations, Stephanie.
Down
well
near
done.
Cameron Murray there.
Down near Cam Murray. Yeah.
Cam. Yeah. Might be a South fan hoping to see Cam on the coast walk.
It might have been Cam. Might have been just a little storage room for him. Who knows?
Just on the Farrell family, they are a family owned business. Marty Farrell, Glenn Farrell, Stephanie, Mitchell Farrell, they all work within the Farrell organisation. So if you are thinking of buying or selling, make sure you give one of them guys a call.
And it's not too hard to sell property down at Clovelly. It's a beautiful part of the world. Such a nice place. Sometimes I go down there, park the car, do the walk to Bondi, come back, have a swim.
Location, location, location.
That's right. Lovely part of the world.
Not a bad pub there either.
So the first news is that Sam Burgess had a bit of a go at Isaac Luke for smiling after the big loss of the Broncos. And I tend to agree with Sam. Isaac, if you're out there, I can understand your point because he made a few tweets about it defending his position, but just doesn't sit well with me. You're out there, you're trying to battle away, and you get beat, and then you're sitting there chatting away and as if nothing's happened.
Well, it's not only the Broncos, Mavo. It's all clubs after a loss. I mean, and you've probably been in this position as many times as I have. After a loss, you just want to hang your head and get in a dressing room and, you know, you're ashamed. But from what you see on the screen these days, they're all smiling and giggling, and I know the Broncos are doing it tough at the moment. And to be fair to Isaac Luke, he's just got up there, so he's probably not used to what they've been going through over the last 6 weeks. He's chopped and changed three clubs this year, hasn't he? This is his third club this year, so he hasn't really had time to get into the groove of what they're all feeling up there. But still, a loss is a loss.
So we're going to touch on that. The Broncos, they're in all sorts. They've lost, what is it, six in a row? The last time they won is when they beat us in round two. And they've got this great roster.
And they looked awesome that night, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. But they haven't been able to recapture that. The COVID lockdown hammered them. They're talking about Matt Lodge coming back for his knee, hasn't been the same player. And now the knives are out for Seibold. And they're saying that we got the swap of the century with the super coach, Wayne Chaps and Rabbitohs Radio's mate, Bennett. And they've got Seibold. And now they're talking about bringing in Steve Kearney, not Carney.
Well, they've wheeled the axe many times, but they haven't got the response. Just looking there, it's like Corey Oates has been given the chop, and he was probably their best player last year, Corey Oates, off the wing. They pushed him in the forwards. Now he's even out of the 17. So he doesn't know what he's doing up there, Seabold.
Yeah, well, they look to be fair.
He's having a Barry.
Pangai Jr. is still out. Fafita.
Fafita. Pangai's back. Oh, yeah.
David Fafita.
Yeah, David. He hasn't played for the last 4 weeks.
They'd be missing him.
Got to put a bigger price tag on this David Fafita. Is he that valuable that they cannot win a game without him? He terrorised Cowboys. Him in the first couple of rounds of the season, didn't he?
Well, it looks like his injury. It looks like that's how valuable he is. I wonder if we can snare him still. Hold on out, hope.
Hang on, we can't keep AJ. We're not going to get this bloke.
They're talking about that's why they might be letting AJ go to free up some funds.
Oh, he'll go to the Roosters for sure, this Dave Fafita. Guaranteed. They've leaked a story this week, the Roosters, that we're $400,000 under the cap.
Yep, I read that.
Absolute bullshit.
How can they be 400,000?
That's what they reckon. We're that far under.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous. And you know what? We're going to move on because it's upsetting talking about the Roosters and how good they're going. Because I do feel sorry for Radley and Young Verrills losing those players, but that side will probably not miss a beat with the depth they've got.
They've been fantastic, the Roosters. But my point, when I asked Adam Reynolds at the press conference, right after the COVID lockdown resumption of the game, do the Roosters hold an advantage with no crowds? 100% they have. It's been a massive advantage of the Roosters without crowds. So once the crowds come back, they might come back to earth. Stuff them.
They're used to playing without crowds, chaps. That's never going to get old.
They've got no fans. No one goes to their training session. South get 500 at a training session.
And just back to Sam and Isaac. Isaac offered him, he's got his phone. Why didn't he give him a call? He's got his number.
I thought you said he's going to offer him outside. I think there might be a bit of a mismatch there. Isaac, he's a tough little bugger. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley.
Isaac used to tackle goalposts without pads on him just for training when he was young over there in Wellington, New Zealand.
So the next bit of news is that the Storm are set for a lengthy stay away thanks to this corona spike. The corona spike was come out of the blue, didn't it? And it's put a spanner into the works of everything. Everyone's gone, hang on a minute, we're not back yet.
Melbourne have been forced to base themselves up at the Sunshine Coast. Suncorp is now their home ground.
Well, that might be good.
A lot of them are used to that anyway. Well, they're all Queenslanders.
They're reserve grade teams at Sunshine Coast Falcons, aren't they? So
it's a second home for them. But then again, you know, it's a
Cameron Smith's probably got more records there than what he has in Melbourne.
But you'd have to think that's going to suit the rest of the competition that they've been unseated from their home ground. So maybe that'll help us. Okay, let's chuff off to another break here on Rabbitohs Radio Podcast.
Bobby, can you run us through the try in 67, the intercept?
Yeah, well, Johnny, they've played it that many times on TV now that it used to be in colour once and now it's in black and white. The colours ran out of it. It was that long ago.
How far was it? 100 metres?
Well, it was something like that, Johnny, but it was about 75 metres, I'd say. Every year, you know, it used to get longer and longer and longer, but people can see it now. And I was blowing towards the end there. I know that my bum was hanging out, and I was luckily I made the try line, and put us in the front in that grand final. We're able to hang on and win the grand final.
Now we've got remembering a Rabbitoh, chaps. What do you got for us?
We've got one of the most important Rabbitohs of all time, Arthur Stephen Hennessy, born on the 24th of September, 1876, nicknamed Ash. He's Rabbitoh number one, boys. The very first Rabbitoh. Played 25 games for the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's also known as the Founding Father. Hennessy held the initial meeting that led to the formation of the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs Club in his house at 9 Collins Street, Surry Hills, and was named the club's delegate to the New South Wales Rugby League. Now, that was in late 1907, and then early 1908, a meeting was held at Redfern Town Hall, and it was absolutely packed on the 17th of January, and that's when the club was formed. So he's a very, very important person to speak about on this show, Mava.
He's a big deal, Arthur Stephen Hennessy. Stephen with a PH, by the way. That's how I spell my name, but that's beside the point. It's not about me.
I reckon every resident in Redfern would have been there.
Oh, yeah. And I think anyone that's gone for the Rabbitohs owes him a little debt of gratitude.
Yep.
And my little street there, Great Buckingham Street, would have been full of them.
Oh, yeah. Mad Rabbitohs down there, mate. Now, Hennessy became South's first captain coach. He had a strict steak diet only for lunch on match days, boys. What about that?
What's that, the Atkins diet or something, is it? Or the high protein?
Yeah, well, it's not good these days.
Doesn't suit you, Brownie, the veggie brown?
No. Nah.
Meat only, boys, all right? This was Arthur's regime.
He would have done well at the juniors. A lot of meat trays.
Well, mate, they do a good steak there too at juniors at the junction, wherever there. Now, he also had a no-kicking policy as a coach, and that's how the South Sydney Rabbitohs earned the title, Pride of the League, with their running style and passing game. A lot of running, a lot of passing. Don't kick it, you know, because... Wow. Because it was derived from rugby union. You can imagine union, how much they used to kick the rugby boys. So, now, Arthur had organised a trial match a couple of weeks later on the 21st of March between the possibles and the probables. And that was only, Jesus, stone's throw away from the Albert Street Studios, boys, down there at Sir Joseph Banks Park.
Yes, the mighty Sir Joseph Banks Park, historic Sir Joseph Banks Hotel. It was an early hotel in Sydney, one of the first places that people would go from Sydney on holidays. So they'd go down to the Sir Joseph Banks Park. They had a pleasure gardens there. They had a zoo. They used to have a running race around the track.
So they had a zoo down there.
They had a zoo, yes. Wow. And it's Australia's first zoo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's historic Botany Bay. And it was like going down the coast. And I often think that if they didn't develop Botany Bay and put the port and the airport, it still would be like that. A beautiful little place to get away. But anyway, very proud to hear that the very first game of rugby league, that possibles and probables match, was held at historic Sir Joseph Banks Park.
It was basically just a tune-up for the upcoming season and for this newly created game. Now, Englishman Tom McCabe, he facilitated the boys. He wasn't the referee. He coached them through what they were doing, but it was still a fair income game. And for that historic match... Boys, the possibles knocked them off 9-8. So there you go.
Yeah, so I think the possibles were led by Billy Cann and the probables were led by Arthur Hennessy. And Billy Cann, I wonder if he's related to the Snake Man. Is it Jimmy? And I think he was a really good sportsman, represented Australia in three different sports. He was the father-in-law to Paul Sait Jr. Paul Sait Jr. is married to his daughter, the old Snake Man down at Larpa. Fond memories of that.
Down there, the Snake Man, watch a show and Mr. Whippy, get an ice cream. Is he still down there? Did he still do the show?
No, he wrapped it up years ago. He wrapped it up, but yeah, fond memories down there. Go and have a swim. If you had a bit of cash, you'd go to Danny's for a seafood feed.
You reckon there'd be a few sly little Phil Blakes still in the pit down there?
Yeah.
It might be. I won't test it out though. I can tell you that right now. Now, on the 20th of April, 1908, at Birchgrave Oval, Hennessy led out the first ever official rugby league match in the season. And he led them out there for that historic match, and we knocked off the North Sydney Bears 11-7. Now, later on that season, a couple of rounds later, we had our first loss, and it was to the arch enemy, the evil empire, the Eastern Suburbs Roosters. They knocked us off 13-12 at the Royal Agricultural Society Showground. So, and I think that's exactly when the rivalry began, mate.
Yeah, it started in 1908 and it continues today. But yeah, so I think that was our only loss of the season. Because I've written a little story on this while we were researching it. I've been fascinated by that first year of 1908 and that first game that we played against North Sydney and we won it. And a bloke called Tommy Anderson scored the first try for South. So, I'm going to add a link to that on our website webpage with a few photos.
We'll do a little story on Tommy one day for sure, mate.
Yeah, Tommy Rabbitoh number two.
Anyway, we won the comp, 1908. First ever competition. The Rabbitohs were successful. But the following season...
Against the Chooks. So we had revenge on the Chooks in that GF.
We got the Chooks in the GF.
We beat them in the GF.
Yeah, we got them. Yeah, we got the grubs. And anyway, Arthur was forced to play for the Evil Empire in 1909.
They don't speak about that much, do they?
No, they don't. But, I mean, Arthur was forced to play for the Evil Empire in 1909 due to the turf wars, boys. The border wars.
Yep, the border wars. He lived on the wrong side of Cleveland Street or something, I believe. But that was sorted out and he ended up back where he belonged.
Well, the Roosters at that time tried to take a lot of the inner west as well. They tried to change the boundary so they got Glebe and all those sort of boundaries. So they're at it at that stage. Only 1 year into the comp, they're still trying to poach players. Isn't that unbelievable?
not much has changed.
Nah, nothing's changed with this mob, mate. Nothing surprises you. Anyway, he had a fair career, and Arthur was also named Australia's inaugural Test captain in a series against New Zealand. Boys, so not only was he the first ever Rabbitoh, the first ever captain, he was the first ever kangaroo captain we ever had.
Yeah, absolutely.
What an achievement.
Absolute legend of the game and the Rabbitohs. And also later on in life, he moved to Maroubra, chaps.
Yeah.
Down in your neck of the woods.
And he set up the Speedway down there at Maroubra, didn't he?
Yep, yeah, he invested in the Speedway and he lived across from the old theatre. So I've seen some old photos of that and I posted them in my article that I wrote on our episode webpage.
Yeah, and in 1946, Arthur decided to coach again at the age of 69. He signed on and the Rabbitohs never won a game that year. They had a legendary captain then, Howard Hallett, and we'll get to him one day. Unfortunately, a decade later, Arthur died in September of 1959, aged 83.
Well, rest in peace, Arthur, but you'll always be remembered. And he was a fitting remembering a Rabbitoh. Well, I hope we've done him justice. And Rabbitoh number one. And like I said, we've did a little story on him. But he's a
not at all.
Absolute legend.
He was also an administrator at the club in 1929, 1930. So.
Yeah. And it's because of him that he wanted to get this team called South Sydney Rabbitohs formed, and he got it done. He got his mates together and he got it done.
All right, boys, we're going to get on to the big match this Sunday at Bankwest Stadium against the Canterbury Bulldogs at 6:30 p.m. Bit of a funny time slot, boys. We haven't played in that time slot this year, but how do you see it?
Yeah, it is a bit of an ordinary slot. Well, I never usually watch that game unless it's CS. It's at Bankwest. It's only on Foxtel. The Dogs sit last on their own with one win at the bottom of the ladder. They only beat Saints in round four. They've got the worst attack in the NRL, so if ever we needed a game where we can play ourselves into form, that's it.
Danger game, but
it's a danger game. Look, if we play like we did last week, we'd be lucky to beat anybody.
Well, that's right, you won't.
So we've got to hold the ball, complete sets, simple as that.
Yeah. We say it week in, week out. We've got to complete our sets. And we showed it against the Warriors and the Gold Coast, what we can do to teams if we hold the ball. If we don't hold the ball, we will come up and we won't be competitive again. It's a danger game, no Hopewadi.
He's been one of their best, Hopewadi, this year. He really, really has been. I've been impressed with what I've seen from Hopewadi. And also, an unfamiliar name to NRL viewers and listeners, Luke Thompson. He's been in isolation for 2 weeks in Melbourne in a hotel. So whether or not they use him, I don't think he would have had a lot of kilometres in his legs unless they had a treadmill in there.
No, they did.
They had a treadmill?
They had a bike. They had a spin bike. I don't know if they had a treadmill, but I did see a spin bike in there. And he would have been working hard on his fitness, and look, he's not going to be in tip-top condition, but he'll probably get through 60 minutes, I reckon.
Well, they'd be desperate to have him, and from what I've seen of him, he looks like a good player, so I hope they don't unleash him on us. But if they do, we'll just have to handle him.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dallin Watini-Zelezniak goes back to fullback, a position which is not unfamiliar to him. He's played a bit of footy there, but he got the hook there earlier in the year, and they put Hopewadi back, and he'd been sensational there. So that's got to be possible advantage to the Bunnies. But like you said, we've got to defuse those bombs too. We didn't seem to come down with any of those bombs Cleary put up last week. So hopefully we can handle everything that's thrown at us by Kieran Foran and get the job done, boys.
And they do get to a lot of kicks because their attack's pretty ordinary. So they do get to a lot of their kicks, yeah. And they
well,
put
they've
a
scored
lot of
the least
up.
Amount of points in the competition this year.
Yep. So let's hope that at training this week, we've had Renault putting up about 400 bombs to every member of that back line. And
Jimmy the Jet has been named in the centres.
Jimmy the Jet's back, and we've got
Braden Burns
on the
bench.
The 17th man. But Patrick Mago was on the is 18th or 19th man. So I'm wondering if, because I do, I've said that before, I do prefer a four-man forward rotation on the bench, and Paddy Mago has been playing well for us. So whether he's fit enough or not, I'm not sure what the story was there. I thought he went okay.
Chaps might be able to ask Wayne on Thursday at the press conference. Might be Friday this week because it's a Sunday game.
I'd tell you it'd be Saturday. Yeah, that'd be the captain's run Saturday, and it'll be on then. So.
Okay.
Anyway, I know we didn't get any predictions last week, but what, have you got any predictions for me, boys?
Yeah, I think we'll really click this week. And like Mavo said, it's a good game to run us into form. They haven't got much attack. The Tigers done a bit of a job on them last week, and I think we'll do a job on them this week. I think we'll be really clinical. I think we'll have a high completion, and I think we'll win by 24 points.
24 points, there you go. What about you, Mavo? What do you think?
Well, I was going to say 24, so I'll say 22.
Oh, there you go. I think the other week against the Warriors, my prediction of 26, it wasn't far off, it was 28. So I know you're waiting for my prediction here, boys. I'm going to say a 38-point win here by the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Why don't you just go 40, chaps? Put a 40 on, 40 burger on them.
I'm going to say 38 block, boys. How about that? They won't score a point, this mob.
Righto.
And now, boys, you guys play for the Doggies. So I might get you to run us over a couple of moments. Brownie, the hat-trick you scored, mate.
Yeah, well, another great memory. Three tries in a game. It's a proud moment in my career, although it was for the Bulldogs. It wasn't for the mighty Rabbitohs. There's a bit of a story behind it. I was named to play in the centres because when I went to the Bulldogs, I didn't play much in the forwards. I was more of an outside back there. And Terry Lamb was named at 5'8", but he actually pulled out couple hours before the game, and I got to the ground, and Chris Anderson said you'll be playing 5'8 today, and I've never really played 5'8 before, and anyway, I was getting a few pointers off Barber in the dressing room before the game. We had the great Ewan McGrady, who was playing halfback, and all Bar said was just go down the middle of the field. Anyway, I listened to his advice and come up with a hat-trick of tries, and it was a great feeling, and it was one better. It was against our arch rivals, the mighty Roosters.
Well, it was too, yeah.
Beautiful.
Now, me and Mavo never scored a hat-trick, but you got a story about scoring some tries for the Bulldogs?
I haven't. Lucky that the Bulldogs don't have a Darren Brown on Sunday coming up the middle. I do. I scored a double against the Knights, but I'm not going to talk about it. Just going to say it happened.
I'm not going to mention it, but I just did.
Yeah. And also, well, when you said coming through the middle, I think I've told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I backed up Barr. We're playing the Broncos at Lang Park. Up through the middle. He had the fullback to beat. Passed me the ball, and I scored under the post, and we won. Anyway, I saw Barr about a year ago and said, "How you going, mate? Remember that try? I backed you up and scored." He goes, "Nah, don't remember it."
He might have remembered who you were.
Probably not. But
nah, he's a good fella, Bar.
But he's a champion. But there's another little story on that. Is Todd Barkley, who's my mate, the real estate agent in Sussex Inlet, and he's a mad Bulldogs fan. Anyway, we're having a beer down at the pub down there. I get down there quite a bit, and we're talking about the old Bulldogs days. And he said, and that story came up about scoring that try. And he said, "You know what? I remember that like it was yesterday. I was sitting in my car listening to it on the radio, and we were getting beat, and you scored that try, and we won. And I always remembered you for that." So I bought him a beer there, and yeah, I was so stoked that someone remembered it, even though Barr didn't.
Boys, the Bulldogs are a club that a lot of South players have ventured to.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Joe Thomas, Peter Tunks, Mavo and myself, Geordie Peets went there.
Bobby McCarthy, yeah.
Well, there was Bobby McCarthy, Gary Stevens.
There was actually a list that one of our listeners made on a group of South and players and Bulldogs, and he amazingly admitted you, even though he's a listener to the show. But then when we pointed it out to him, he dropped Dean Britt for you. Dean Britt went back to the 18th man, and you got a start.
So. Oh, well, good on him. Not many of them would have scored a hat-trick.
No, that's right. But he actually forgot Gary Stevens as well. But it's just, it was only a bit of fun. But yeah, Gary Stevens, he's not well at the moment, but he's a champion of this club. And
but I'll tell you what, it was a pretty good list there Brendan put up, Brendan.
Brendan.
Tulisky, yeah.
Yes,
fantastic.
He is
another mad Rabbitoh out there.
And he's got some stories too. We didn't mention him this week, but he's posted some gold in the listeners group, and we might tell a couple of those yarns next week on the show.
For sure. My favourite try against the Bulldogs, obviously I didn't score any, but was have to be Georgie Burgess is trying the GF boys. Oh, he beat Afterside.
How good.
Under
was
the
it?
Post. That was when we knew he had him.
Yeah, that sealed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a straw that broke the camel's back for sure.
Yeah, that was.
And the last one, GI's one. I know it was a bit forward, but the outside in ball.
Yeah, and Rabbit's Warren.
GI.
His call for both. He's going to score and do the goanna and the goanna crawls.
No, he's going to put another nail in the coffin and the goanna crawls.
Yeah, that's right. And the Georgie Burgess. Georgie's burst through. They can't stop him, but they did. But it's over two ladies over the line or something like that. So, anyway.
No better than Rabs.
Ah, he's the best.
We'd love to get him on the show, too. He does. Hey, we stories.
Can. Yep.
Yes, because Mark Warren, his son, is a mate of ours.
He already told me.
Yeah, there you go. We'll get him on one day.
So let's move on to the Rabbit of the Week, brought to you by Bourke Street Bakery, our fine sponsors there. And we were down there today, boys.
We were.
Yep. And we tried the spiced carrot soup.
Yeah, that's only new on the menu.
Young Jaden served it to us. Friendly young man.
It's a new concept that they're doing through, I suppose, winter.
Monday to Friday. They've had the soups before, but Monday to Friday, you get a soup and a big hunk of sourdough bread, and it was delightful.
I brought two to take away. Yep. I'm on night shift this week, so that'll be me dinner.
Yep. And also,
beautiful.
Also, Murray from Bourke Street Bakery tells us that the pork and fennel sausage rolls are the most popular thing on the menu, and I had one of those too. And they are delicious.
One or two?
Just had the one, and we had, the sour cherry chocolate cookie as well.
That was all right.
So we're really colour. We're talking about the COVID weight, and it's not going to help, but. We'll start working on that. I'm playing golf tomorrow, 18 holes at the coast, so that'll burn a few calories off.
You'll burn off.
You'll get a cart.
Actually, tomorrow I can play with Buckard. I think he's their cart man.
He's not walking.
Nah, I usually do, but. Okay. So let's move on. Our Rabbit of the Week who wins a coffee voucher at any of the 14 Bourke Street Bakery stores is Connor Higgins. And we give him that because he is wearing one of our Rabbitohs radio polos proudly. And chaps, he was a good footy player, local bloke.
Still playing, yeah. He's a great South junior.
Yep.
Yeah, so, Connor actually played over in the UK at Salford.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he spent a bit of time over there. And
he's a very handy player. Yeah, I've watched
him play in the local A grade. He's a good player and a good mate of ours. And he's a champion fella.
And we call him Connor Cook because he looks like the great Damien Cook.
He does. Yeah. Well-deserved winner of Rabbito of the Week.
And you know what? He's one of our first listeners ever. I can remember sending him our first episode we sent, and he got back to me and said, mate, that's unreal. I could listen to that anytime. So he was one of the inspirations for the podcast. So shout out to you, Connor.
There you go. Listeners like that is what we need. He's a quiet bloke, but he's a champion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good fella, mate.
You're rugby league mad. Absolutely loves rugby
loves
league.
Loves it.
Lives and breathes it. That might be it. Boys, you got anything else?
That's it. I've got to chuff off.
Chuff off the night shift.
These blokes have got to go to night shift. So, Mavo, take us out, mate.
Rabbitohs Radio is hosted by Grant Chappell, Darren Brown and me, Steve Maven, and is brought to you by Export Freight Systems, The Juniors, NG Farah, Rise Foundation and Bourke Street Bakery. For more information on this episode, click the episode webpage in the show notes and please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. We'd also like you to follow our Rabbitohs Radio Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and YouTube channel. We'll be back next week with another episode and up the mighty Rabbitohs.